Hello.
Podcast Network Asia. Christine's killer is finally in police custody. Find out more in this episode into the horrific murder of Christine Silawan in the last 24 hours.
Renato Payupan Lienes looked nothing like the sinister butcher people expected him to be when he was finally presented to the press on April 11, 2019. Months after speculations of cannibalism and demonic rituals gripped the country, the local PNP finally introduced them to Christine's killer, a 43-year-old father of five, who, according to local police, was apprehended at home just as he was about to evade arrest. PNP Chief Oscar Albayade claimed in an interview with CNN that Lienes made plans to hide out in Cebu after he learned that his name came up in the investigation of a special task group. It wasn't made clear how Lienes could have access to this information. Wearing an orange correction shirt, Lienes at times looked both bewildered and confused, almost like a trapped animal as he was surrounded by his security escorts. According to Albayade, Lienes voluntarily admitted his crime through an extrajudicial confession because he was haunted by his conscience. An extrajudicial confession is a confession made out of court during a custodial investigation when the accused is brought before law enforcers for an interrogation. Lienes was initially brought in and charged with illegal possession of firearms and violation of the election gun ban after he was arrested in a by-bust operation. His arrest, according to authorities, was made possible through an intelligence-driven operation. Sunstar Cebu reported that his confession was made during this interrogation. Albayade continued his statement to the media by detailing how the suspect committed his crime. He stated that Lienes developed an obsession with Christine, which led him to initiate communications with the unsuspecting teen by using a fake Facebook account where Lienes pretended to be a teenage boy named CJ Diaz. This is the same name and Facebook account that the NBI investigation tied to the first suspect, Christine's ex-boyfriend. Lienes claimed that he developed an online relationship with Christine until she eventually agreed to meet with him on March 10th near the Sacred Heart Parish where she frequently volunteered. On April 10th, he traced what happened with the police, starting from the church to the empty lot where Christine's body was found, the final crime scene. Lienes told the police that he sent a text message to Christine just after 6 p.m. while he waited for her outside the parish church. There are conflicting reports of exactly what happened next, with multiple media outlets publicizing similar end results, but with varying, oftentimes inconsistent details about the events leading up to Christine's death. CNN Philippines reported that Lienes pretended to be CJ's driver to get Christine to come with him, while the Cebu-based Freeman Online publication claimed that when Lienes spotted Christine leaving the church, he asked if he could walk with her. Christine refused this offer and said that she was meeting someone else. That same Freeman report continued with Lienes walking with Christine anyway, even lighting their way with his phone. He then asked to have sex with her, but she refused, which led to a heated exchange where Lienes claimed that he began punching her out of anger. Christine began yelling for him to stop, so he stabbed her with a pair of scissors that he kept in his pocket until she fell to the ground. He then removed her pants. The Sunstar Cebu write-up for its part claimed that after Christine refused to have sex with Lienes, he pushed her to the ground, after which he attempted to remove her pants. They struggled, but he overpowered her. Then he stabbed her multiple times. In both reports, Lienes denied raping Christine, stating that he could not go ahead with raping a dead body. Meanwhile, the PNP chief's statement to the press indicated that the suspect stabbed Christine multiple times in a fit of jealousy after learning that she was no longer a virgin. He added that Lienes was under the influence of drugs when he committed his crime, a detail Lienes confirmed at the press conference. Because of the drug angle, it was easier for people to make sense of what Lienes did next, although it wasn't exactly indicated what he was tripping on. Multiple reports indicated that after he stabbed Christine multiple times, he used the same scissors to cut and skin her face clean off her skull. The Sunstar Cebu story continued by reporting that Lienes then fled the scene with Christine's face and belongings to a nearby site, where he washed the blood off the scissors before throwing it away. In his panic, Lienes claimed that he could not recall where he threw both items. However, the Freeman Online reported that Lienes threw his bag with the items at a grassy area near where he left their body, before he made his way to a nearby well to wash the scissors. According to several reports, Lienes learned how to peel off human skin from YouTube tutorials, with several media outlets reporting, including the Philippine Star Online and ABS-CBN News, that he was inspired by the Momo Challenge. The Momo Challenge is an online viral phenomenon where a character or user called Momo would target adolescents and children to perform a series of increasingly violent tasks that would include self-harm and suicide. The actual origins of the challenge itself are unclear. An investigative piece by the Rolling Stone magazine on the Momo phenomenon in February of 2019 indicated that the challenge initially made the rounds in Spanish-speaking countries, with Mexican authorities claiming that the trend began from an unspecified Facebook group. It wasn't until YouTuber Rainbot tackled the phenomenon in his channel in 2018 that the challenge began to pick up steam in English-speaking countries. The challenge begins this way. After you send a message to Momo's number, you get a message asking, or more like daring you, to complete a series of bizarre and increasingly dangerous tasks, starting with something innocent like watching a horror movie late at night. Failure to complete the tasks would result in your personal information being leaked or threats of violence. The messages are often accompanied by gory images that supposedly have a supernatural effect on whoever sees it. An image so evil, it will terrify anyone enough to self-harm or commit suicide. You can easily find one of those images online. Google Momo and you'll get images of a wraith-like bug-eyed female with bird-like claws and dark matted hair. Most likely, you'll see the sculpture of the creature made by a Japanese company that makes horror films and props. They were inspired by the Japanese folklore of the bird woman, or Obume, the spirit of a woman who died in childbirth. A bit of warning though, I'm not going to lie. The image can make anyone's skin crawl. But is it malignant enough to make you want to commit heinous tasks? Rainbot debunked the phenomenon as a viral hoax, an internet urban legend, citing that there are no credible reports of anyone who had been influenced or manipulated to kill themselves or others after seeing her image. Web experts and folklorists studying the development of urban legends have gone on record to say that the phenomenon behind the challenge is likely a case of moral panic, defined as a feeling of fear spread among many people that some evil threatens the well-being of a society. In this particular case, fueled by parents who generally mistrust social media and its effect on their kids. In the end, the Momo Challenge has been proven to be nothing but a sensationalized hoax, fueled by unverified media reports. Mental health experts have nevertheless cautioned that the hysterical news coverage could potentially prove harmful, pointing out that just because something isn't real doesn't mean it can't cause harm. This is the case in the shocking story of two teenage girls in Waukesha, Wisconsin, who stabbed their friend in 2014 to appease a fictional online character called the Slender Man. Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weir were 12 years old when they lured their best friend, Peyton Leutner, also 12, into the woods and stabbed her 19 times. Peyton miraculously survived the attack after managing to crawl to a path where she was found by a cyclist. According to Morgan and Anissa, they needed to kill their friends so they could demonstrate their loyalty to Slenderman, who they believe lived on a mansion in the woods where they committed the attack. In her police interview, Morgan claimed that Slender had demanded that she kill her best friend to save the lives of her own family. Often seen wearing a black suit, the Slender Man is a thin, unnaturally tall humanoid with featureless head and face. It originated as a creepypasta internet meme created for a Photoshop contest where users were challenged to create a paranormal image. It quickly went viral and spawned numerous fan art and online fiction, which in turn helped blur the line between fiction and reality in the creation of the Slender mythos. Benjamin Radford, a folklorist and research fellow for the Committee for Skeptic Inquiry, adds that while there is no evidence that the Slender Man exists, the case is instructive because it proves that the Slender Man doesn't have to exist in order for people to act on it. It's unclear if Lienis killed Christine as a task to complete for Momo, or if the violence of the Momo phenomenon simply inspired him. Research has shown little explanation from Lienis himself regarding the extent of the Momo influence on his vile crime. At the same time, no explanation had been provided regarding the mutilation of Christine's trachea, esophagus, ears, and neck. With the exception of Christine's face, there's been no mention as to why these particular parts were taken or where he's disposed of them. Unfortunately, we'll never know. At 5 a.m. on May 24th, 2020, Renato Lienis was seen hanging inside the toilet of the detention infirmary in Cebu City. An autopsy on his body conducted by the same medical legal who worked on Christine's body officially ruled his death asphyxia by ligature. No indications of foul play had been reported, although a Lapu-Lapu jail superintendent said in an interview with Sunstar Cebu that four other inmates at separate instances had previously committed suicide in the same infirmary. According to Yahoo News, Lienis was placed in the infirmary instead of the male dormitory cell after he received death threats from Christine's uncle, who happened to be detained in the same facility. He was scheduled to face trial in April of 2020, which was rescheduled because of the pandemic. In spite of the confession, Lienis pled not guilty during his arraignment. The Office of the Prosecution has declared the case closed, stating that they are confident, as far as their office is concerned, that Lienis is guilty of the crime he's accused of. Christine's ex-boyfriend was eventually released after a panel of prosecutors cleared him of any wrongdoing. In the wake of Lienis's death, we're left with more questions than answers, along with a distressing suspicion that justice for Christine has somehow been corrupted. Worse, we're left with a terrifying suspicion that the real killer is still out there. Evil still lives among us, waiting to do the unthinkable to the next unsuspecting young beauty.
You've just listened to the concluding episode of a two-part series on the macabre murder of Christine Silawan.
Don't miss out on new episodes. Like and subscribe to The Last 24 Hours, or follow the podcast on Facebook at Historia Ni Jet, where you can get in touch, tell me your thoughts, suggest cases, or just say hello. I'll do my best to get back to you.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.